seat in front of you. We're going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. If you don't have one of these, raise up your hand and hopefully an usher can try and bring one to you. If we don't have enough, just try and share with your neighbor. Help them out. They can take a look at it. We fed you with pizza, so hopefully you can endure Pastor Amanda's sermon tonight, okay? Holy, holy, holy in your white handout. Again, if you don't have one, hopefully we have some extras we can pass around. Again, we'll sing Holy, Holy, Holy on the first. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power and love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy work shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
We have Brother Joel coming for baptism this evening. Brother Joel, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Make sure to congratulate Brother Joel after the service. And we'll have our Bible reading at this time.
Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. Follow along in your Bible, starting at verse number 1. Where the Bible read, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez and Zara of Tamar. And Perez begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson. And Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam. And Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren, about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the Fire-Breathing Baptist Fellowship, and for the opportunity that we have to gather together in your name and listen to some hard preaching. We pray now that you would fill Pastor Roger Jimenez with your spirit and enable him to preach your word boldly, give him clarity of mind, and also help us to pay attention to the message so we can listen and learn. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right, well, thank you very much for being here tonight. I want to just begin, first of all, by saying thank you for all of you that are here, and all of you that stayed even after the pizza. You already got the pizza and you stayed, and I appreciate you doing that. Thank you very much. And I know many of you have traveled long ways, and we're glad you're here. I'm happy to be here. Great turnout tonight, and I appreciate you coming out. Of course, I want to say thank you to Pastor Shelley and Mrs. Shelley for their hospitality, and I want to say thank you to Steadfast Baptist Church for everything you do and everything you are and putting on this event. And everywhere I go, whenever I show up, the first question people usually ask me is, did you bring your wife? And people always want to meet my wife. And I say, no, I didn't bring my wife this trip. And then the next question they'll ask is, did you bring any puppets? And I'll say, no, I didn't bring any puppets. Then they'll ask, did you bring the puppy? And I say, no. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they walk off. I did bring our deacon brother, Oliver, and I know he's not much, but he's all I got, all right? So if you'd like to meet him, make sure you say hi to him. And there's several from our church here from California, and I appreciate them being here, of course. And, you know, I want to just let Steadfast Baptist Church know, of course, you're in our prayers. You guys have been dealing with a lot this year, going through a lot. And, you know, I want to say I appreciate it. I may be a little selfish in it. Obviously, I'm praying for you. But when you think about the lawsuit, you're dealing with this lawsuit, you've got these protests, you've got the financial fraud. I mean, and all of it in Texas. You guys are making California look good. So I appreciate your faithfulness with that. Tonight, I'm preaching on a specific subject. And the title of the sermon, if you will, is My Body, My Choice. I'm preaching on this subject or this idea of my body, my choice. And of course, when you hear that, your mind should go to the issue of abortions. And My Body, My Choice is the mantra or the rallying call of the abortion crowd. I wanted to speak on this here because, of course, this is something that's been on the news a lot lately, especially in Texas. The state of Texas last month passed what's being referred to as the heartbeat law, and they say it's one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country. As a result, there have been protests in Austin, in Washington, D.C., really all over the country. There was a protest in Sacramento, California, as a result of it as well, and it's something that people have been talking about. But I'm not necessarily just preaching about abortions tonight. The sermon tonight is going to have two parts to it. First, I do want to talk about abortions and deal with the subject of abortions. But then I also want to talk about the COVID vaccine and the mandate. So we'll kind of talk about abortions here for a little bit, and then we'll shift gears and talk a little bit about the mandates. But I want to talk about this phrase, my body, my choice. Because again, this is a phrase that is being used by the abortion crowd. They'll say the reason that we should be able to abort a child in the womb is because, hey, it's my body, my choice. That's what they'll say. And of course, we as Bible-believing Christians reject that. We do not believe that my body, my choice is a valid argument for abortion. So let me just begin by being clear with that. My body, my choice is not a valid reason to allow abortions. Now, you may ask why, and here's the thing. As Bible-believing Christians, we should not only believe the Bible, obviously that's the main thing, but we should also know not only what we believe, but why we believe it. Why is it that we take these positions? And if you ask the question, my body, my choice, why is that not valid as an argument for the abortion crowd? Well, it's not valid because abortion is murder. My body, my choice is not a valid reason because abortion is murder. The Bible teaches that life begins at conception. You're there in Matthew chapter 1. I'd like you to look down at verse number 18. Notice what the Bible says, Matthew 1:18. It says this, now the birth of Jesus Christ, and of course this is a passage that's often usually read during Christmas time, but we'll see some application and truth here. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found, notice these words, with child of the Holy Ghost. Here, the Bible references the fact that Mary is expecting, she's pregnant, and the Bible calls it being with child. Look down at verse number 23, same chapter. He says this, behold, a virgin shall be, notice the words, with child. I want you to notice what the Bible calls pregnancy. It doesn't call it a fetus. It doesn't call it an embryo. It doesn't call it a blob of tissue. It calls it a child. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, go with me, if you would, just real quickly to the book of Isaiah, Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 7, and many of you are familiar with these passages, but I'd like us to look at them just kind of by way of introduction. Isaiah chapter 7, if you start towards the end of the Old Testament, you'll find those big major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Isaiah chapter number 7. And here's the question, because you show people that verse, and we'll say, look, the Bible calls a being, a human in the womb, calls it a child. She's with child. But the argument is this, well, when does it become a child? Does it become a child at 6 weeks? Does it become a child when you can hear the heartbeat? Does it become a child at 3 months, 6 months? Does it become a child once it's birthed? When does it become a child? Well, the Bible answers this for us because the Bible, by the way, has the answers to all of life's questions. And what's interesting is that this verse in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This is actually a quote from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Now, in Isaiah, the wording is a little different. And it's not because there's a problem or a contradiction. It's because the Bible, our King James Bible, is its own dictionary. And oftentimes, you know, the Bible says that we should compare spiritual things with spiritual. And oftentimes when you can take a quote from the Old Testament and the New Testament and compare them side by side, when you see differences, that's not contradictions. It's God giving us synonyms or giving us some insight and allowing the spiritual word of God to show us what he means. So in Matthew 1:23, he said, a virgin shall be with child. Well, when did that begin? Did it begin once the baby developed a heartbeat? Did it begin at 6 weeks or 12 weeks or 6 months? When did it become a child? Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now notice, here comes a quote that we find in Matthew. Behold, a virgin shall, notice what it says, conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In Matthew it said, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Here it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. It's using the term with child and conceive synonymously. Why? Here's why. Because it becomes a child at conception. It's not an embryo that turns into a child. It's not a blob of tissue or a fetus that turns into a child. At the moment of conception, God looks down and says, hey, she's with child. It's a human being. See, my body, my choice is not a valid reason for abortion because abortion is murder. These women, they say, well, it's my body. Yeah, but what about the body of the baby? What? It's my choice. What about the choice of the baby? My body, my choice is invalid as an argument for abortion because of the fact that abortion is murder. Abortion ends life. Why? Because in the womb, it is a child. In the womb, it is a human. In the womb, it is a person. Why? Because life begins at conception. Not only does life begin at conception, but let me say this, life begins before the body is even formed. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1, if you would. You're there in Isaiah. Right after Isaiah, you've got the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. And let me say this. You know, obviously, thank God for any law that makes abortions a little harder and all of that. But even the heartbeat law, it's not enough. It's not that, oh, well, once it has a heartbeat, now it's alive. No, it had a heartbeat the moment there was, it was alive, it was a human, the moment there was conception, even if there was no heartbeat. Because not only does life begin at conception, but life begins before the body itself is even formed. Jeremiah 1, look at verse 5. Notice what the Bible says here. Notice what God says to the prophet Jeremiah. He says, before I form thee, notice, before I form thee, what does that mean? Before his body was formed, before the heart was created, before it began to beat. He said, before I form thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, what does that mean? Before you were birthed, he said, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. See, God looks down at Jeremiah and says, hey, before I formed you, I knew you. I had a plan for you. I had a purpose for you. Before you even birthed, he said, I had a plan and a purpose. And by the way, that's not just Jeremiah. That's everybody. Every child in this room ought to know that God has a plan and God has a purpose for their life. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. You're there in Jeremiah. If you go backwards, you've got Isaiah, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Psalm 139. While you turn there, let me just read to you a little article about this law that was passed in Texas. Obviously, those of you that are Texans, you're familiar with this, I'm sure. It says, Texas law sparks hundreds of U.S. protests against abortion. This article was written October 2nd, which was just this last weekend, so it's pretty up to date. It says, women marched by the thousands on Saturday on the Supreme Court, the Texas Capitol, and cities across the United States to protest increasing state restrictions on abortion and advocate for maintaining a constitutional right to the procedure. Obviously, we're against this. It says, the 660 demonstrations, I thought that was an interesting number. There must have been six they didn't account for. 660 demonstrations around the United States were largely sparked by a Texas law that bans abortion after about 6 weeks of pregnancy. The measure, which went into effect last month, is the most restrictive in the country. In the Texas capital of Austin, hundreds gathered in sweltering heat to denounce the so-called heartbeat law signed by Governor Greg Abbott. It bans abortion after cardiac activity is detected in the embryo, usually around 6 weeks. That is before most women know they are pregnant, and earlier than 85 to 90% of all abortions that are carried out, experts say. The law requires an ordinary citizen to enforce the ban, which makes no exceptions for rape or incest, rewarding them at least $10,000 if they successfully sue anyone who helped provide an illegal abortion. Washington protesters marched to the U.S. Supreme Court 2 days before the court reconvenes for a session in which the justices will consider the Mississippi case that could enable them to overturn abortion rights established in the landmark 1973 Roe versus Wade case. And again, I'm thankful for anything that is done to end or to try to slow down the abortion holocaust in our country. But we as Bible-believing Christians, number one, we need to be clear and we need to be careful. We were having lunch this afternoon with the pastors, and you know they were talking about this law and giving some thoughts about it and things like that. And you know, as Bible-believing Christians, something that was brought up in the conversation is we need to be careful with these Republicans, you know, virtue signaling some law that it's not enough. And again, I'm thankful for anyone that does anything against abortions. Let me tell you something. It's not an embryo that it gets a heartbeat. It's a human being from the moment it was conceived. Heartbeat or not, body or not, it's a human being. And we as Bible-believing Christians need to be clear about that, need to communicate that, need to express that, need to understand what we believe. The life begins at conception, and life begins before the body is formed. Are you there in Psalm 139? Look at verse 13. Psalm 139 and verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me. Notice what he says. The psalmist says, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Notice verse 15. My substance. That's the biblical word. My substance, not fetus, not embryo, not blob of tissue. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Notice verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being, notice this word, unperfect. Now the word perfect in our King James Bible doesn't mean without error, the way we would use it today. The word perfect means complete or whole. Notice what he says. He says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. He said, even while my body was incomplete, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. He said, while you were still fashioning, which in continuance were fashioning, while you were still fashioning my body, he says, when as yet there was none of them. You understand what that means? He says, before I even had any body parts, thine eyes did see my substance. He said, while my body was still unperfect, while it was still being fashioned, while it was still being worked on, he said, my substance was not hid from thee. Thine eyes did see my substance. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Before the body is complete, while it's still in continuance being fashioned, it is a human being. Why? Because life begins at conception, which means life begins before the body's even formed, which means that life begins the moment that there's conception, not 6 weeks later when you hear a heartbeat. My body, my choice is not a valid reason for abortions. Why? To allow abortions, because abortion is murder. But let me just say this. Not only is abortion murder, my body, my choice is not a valid reason for abortions because abortions are brutal. Now, I don't want to go into the details of an abortion, but let me just read a little article here for you. This comes from a website called abortionfacts.com. And it talks about a film, and I'm just going to read this for you, and I'm going to tell you I haven't watched this film, and I don't need to watch the film, and I just think it illustrates something. It says this: the brutality of an abortion is graphically demonstrated in Dr. Bernard Nathanson's classic film, The Silent Scream, the first widely circulated ultrasound of an actual abortion. It shows a child serenely resting in her mother's womb. Suddenly, the child is alarmed because of the intruding abortion device. She moves as far away as she can, trying desperately to save her life, just before her body is torn to pieces and sucked out through the vacuum tube. Her tiny mouth opens in an unheard scream of terror. After the abortion, the doctor who performed it was invited to view the ultrasound. He was so upset with what he saw that he left the room. Though he had performed over 10,000 abortions, he never performed another one again. Abortion is not only murder. Abortion is brutal. And again, these women say, and these protesters say, my body, my choice. But what about the baby's body? What about the baby's choice? Why don't we allow the baby? Hey, how about we allow the baby to decide? Maybe the baby would like to make a decision on whether it should be aborted or not. Hey, how about we let the baby decide? You know, the baby has a body too. What about the baby's body, the baby's choice? Maybe the baby wants to abort the mom. Have you ever thought about that? You know what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches you should treat people the way you'd like to be treated. Now, this is actually a law that God gives us when it comes to our relationships. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And it also says to love thy neighbor as thyself. But this is also a principle that God used in his legal system of Old Testament Israel to provide justice. Go to the book of Exodus, if you would. Exodus chapter number 21. Genesis, Exodus, Exodus chapter 21. When you get there, do me a favor and put a ribbon or a bookmark there, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. Exodus 21. But, you know, let me just say this. What if the baby wants to abort the mom? How about we ram a device into the skull of the mom and vacuum out her brain and see how she likes it? You're like, oh, I don't think you should talk like that. Well, that's what they're doing to these babies. That's what they're doing to these innocent lives in the womb, in the place that should be the safest for a child, the womb of a mother. We live in a country today that says you can go into that sacred womb and end the life under the argument, my body, my choice. Under the argument, well, I get to choose. I'm the one that's going to carry this child. The Bible says that a just punishment is to have done to you what you have done to others. Now, in the New Testament, with a little bit of a more positive spin, it's funny to me, the liberals, they love the love thy neighbor as thyself, love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'm not mocking it. It's a great principle. But then the same people will mock the Old Testament when it says an eye for an eye. Here's what they don't understand. An eye for an eye is just the same principle. Treat people the way you'd like to be treated, flipped in a negative side for the purposes of justice. The Bible teaches, and look, I'm not saying that this needs to happen to people that have performed abortions or that have had abortions. Obviously, I believe that our government should start a law. You know, forget the heartbeat law. How about just uphold the murder law and say abortion is murder? And anyone who performs abortion from here on out, hey, forget bringing a lawsuit for $10,000. How about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? That's actually what the criminal justice system should do. Because the Bible says that that's what justice is. And again, I'm not saying that we need to go back and do that to people that have performed abortions or done abortions. Obviously, that's not the law in the land in which we live. And let me say this. If you're here tonight and you've had an abortion, I'm not picking on you. I'm not mad at you. Maybe you did that in your past. You didn't know it was wrong or before you were saved or whatever. Obviously, God loves you. God forgives you. Confess it to God as sin and move on with your life. You'll see that baby in heaven. I'm not here to pick on you, but I am here to say, hey, my body, my choice is invalid. And what the Bible says is that just punishment is to have done to you what you have done to others. Now, The verses I want you to look at are Exodus 21, verse 24 and 25. But just to give you the context, though, look at verse 22, because I think the context is very fitting. Exodus 21, 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child. Here's a woman that's pregnant. Two guys are fighting, they're kind of wrestling, and they accidentally bump into or hurt a woman with child. Notice what it says, so that her fruit depart. She loses the child. She loses the life of the child. It says, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow. What that means is, it wasn't done on purpose. It wasn't done maliciously. It was an accident. It's what we would call manslaughter. They didn't set out to kill the baby, but that's what happened. There's still a punishment for it. He shall surely be punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay the judges, pay as the judges determine. Notice verse 23. And if any mischief follow, you can write right next to that, Planned Parenthood. Abortion clinics. That means they did it on purpose. They're trying to end a pregnancy. They're trying to take the life of a child in the womb. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. You guys are angry. No, this is love. Somebody kills a child. Somebody kills a child. God says, life for life. You said that they should stick a vacuum in their brain and suck their brains out. Burning for burning. Wound for wound. Stripe for stripe. You want to end abortions? Make it a law that if you get an illegal abortion, you'll get aborted. See how quickly it goes away. That's justice. This is why, when you from time to time you hear about these abortion clinics getting blown up. Now, let me just say this. Let me just be clear, because I don't need a 2016. I'm happy with you guys getting all the protests. I don't need it anymore. Let me be clear. I'm not saying that people should do this. I'm not condoning it. I'm not encouraging it. And if you want to do it, I would try to talk you out of it. I'm not saying it's good, okay? All I'm saying, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not telling people to do it. I'm just saying from time to time, when you hear about an abortion clinic being blown up, it doesn't make me sad. If somebody asks me, Pastor Mitch, what do you think about an abortion clinic being blown up? I would say, that's like asking me, what do you think about a place that murders babies getting blown up? I think it's great. I think the babies in the womb are a little safer tonight. I'm not upset about it. I'm not going to shed a tear over it. I don't think it's a big deal. Why? Because abortion is murder. Now, with that said, let me say this. There are some people that would have been better off aborted. You say, I don't think you should say that. Okay, well, how about Jesus said it had been good for that man if he had not been born. Talking about Judas. Bible says, look, for some people it would have been better if they wouldn't have got, if they would just would have died in the womb. They would have never been born. If you don't like that, Jesus said that. He said that about Judas, but I can think of a few people it applies to. I mean, I can think of some. Pastor Burson's already brought it up, so you know. How about here's one, Seth Bookout. Yeah, that's right. I mean, Seth Bookout's mom is probably looking at him today and thinking to herself, I should have aborted you when I had the chance. And look, don't get that upset about it, because you know what? He is going to get aborted. God's going to abort him. Amen. Seth Bookout better look out. Going to end up like Todd Ferguson. And that is not a threat. It's a prayer request. It's a prayer request, not a threat, all right? But there are some people, Seth Bookout, Ryan Gallagher, Robert Tuttle. I mean, there are some people that... I'm against abortions, but it might have been better if they were gone. Go with me to the book of Romans, if you would, in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 14. Let me shift gears a little bit. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but I'm against abortions. Did you get that? Just trying to be clear. I don't believe that the argument, my body, my choice, is a valid argument to allow abortions. However, I'd like to just point out to you the hypocrisy of the government in which we live in, or in which we live under, because the same government, the same Joe Biden, the same Kamala Harris, the same, you know, Nancy Pelosi, the same government that says, my body, my choice is a proper argument to take utensils and go into the womb of a mother and end a life, that's a proper argument. They're the same people that are now trying to mandate that we all get vaccinated. And here's all I say to that is, what happened to my body, my choice? I mean, you guys have been telling us for years, my body, my choice, my body, my choice. And I'm like, no, that's not, no, that's murder. And then now they're trying to mandate these vaccines, and we're like, my body, my choice. I don't want to get vaccinated. It's my body. Shouldn't it be my choice? And here's what they say. Tell me if this is not just the height of hypocrisy. They'll say, well, no, my body, my choice is not a valid argument for you to not get a vaccine, because if you don't get a vaccine, you could hurt people. And abortions don't hurt people? You could kill someone, and abortions don't kill someone? We live in a hypocritical culture and society when people say, my body, my choice justifies killing an unborn child. And then you say, hey, please don't vaccinate me with your weird Frankenstein DNA crap. What happened to my body, my choice? And they're like, no, no, no. You could hurt somebody. Somebody could die. Somebody is dying. In fact, like 5,000 of them every day. Now, we're going to shift gears here a little bit on this vaccine thing, but let me just give a disclaimer. I'm against the vaccine. Did you notice that? I'm against the mandating the vaccines, and I'll be, just for sake of clarity, I'm against the vaccines. I'm not taking one. My wife's not taking one. My children aren't taking one. We're against them. With that, let me just say this. I'm not going to stand up here and declare that, you know, you shouldn't take a vaccine and that you're sinning if you take a vaccine. Now, let me just say this. I'm a guest speaker, so, and many of you are from this church and other churches, and, you know, let me just say, if you go to church and the pastor says something different than what I'm saying right now, your pastor, he's right, I'm wrong. That's what a good church member does, all right? Let me just say that. But I'm not standing up here saying Pastor Jimenez isn't standing up here and is telling you, like, you better not take the vaccine. Now, I'm against them. And I'm about to give you some reasons why I'm against them. But I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that, you know, you shouldn't take them. Because here's what I believe. I believe it's your choice. I believe it's your body, your choice. And here's the thing. There's not a clear command in Scripture that says thou shalt not take a vaccine. So I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, you know, obviously there are principles we find in the Bible that we can take from that and see why you may not want to take a vaccine, why you should want to take a stand against vaccines. But here's the real reason why I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, you know, you're not right with God if you don't take a vaccine. And this might totally be in my flesh, and if it is, I apologize. I'm just a man, and, you know. But here's the real reason why I'm not going to do that is because I'm in no risk of getting vaccinated. I'm the pastor of a church. Our church not only hires me full-time, our church has 3 other full-time employees aside from myself, plus a part-time employee, plus a full-time evangelist. Our church has all these employees. I'm in charge. Now, obviously, God is in charge. God is my boss. I get that. But God's not, I'm not turning in, I'm not clocking in. You know, and God's getting that. Obviously, in a practical sense, I'm my own boss. And I'm at no risk. I don't have anybody telling me, like, you need to take the vaccine or we're going to fire you. I'm at no risk with that. Now, I will say this. I'm constantly threatening our staff with that. You're late one more time, buddy. I'm gonna make you take that vaccine. And don't ask me for a religious exemption letter. You don't strain up your act around here. You know, I do threaten them actively with, I'm kidding, of course. But here's the point. I'm not gonna grandstand and stand up here and just beat my chest. I'm not, bless God, I'm not taking the vaccine. When I'm not at no risk. It's like when the churches got locked down in 2020? And then Pastor Boyle in Florida and Michael Johnson and these guys, you know, they live in a state where the governor says, hey, you don't need to shut down. Then they go on YouTube and they're like, bless God, we're never shutting down like those cowards. Nobody asked you to shut down. You're at no risk. You don't have any, you're not risking anything. You know what that's called? It's called grandstanding. It's called, you know, pounding your chest. Look how tough I am when you're at no risk. And here's the truth about the vaccines. I'm at no risk. It'd be easy for me to just get up and say, bless God, I'll never take the vaccine. You got to be tough like I am. Look, you're the one that has to make those decisions, and you're the one that's going to live with those consequences. Whatever decision you make, if you choose to not take the vaccine and you get fired, you got to live with those consequences. And if you choose to take the vaccine and it kills you, you got to live with those consequences. It's your choice, and I'm not going to grandstand here and tell you that you know you should be like me because I'm not going to take the vaccine. Hey, I by the grace of God, I get to pastor Verity Baptist Church, and I get to live in this bubble, and I'm not at risk for that. Now, I will tell you why I'm against them. I'll tell you why I won't do it. I'll tell you why I think it's bad, but, you know, I'm not gonna just make it sound like this is what the Bible says and you're not right with God if you do it. Because here's the thing. I do believe that in certain circumstances there may be some reasons why. Here's the point. If there's a husband and wife that come to this church and they're three to thrive, they're soul winners, they love the Lord, they're solid in their walk with God. And the husband's going to lose his job because he doesn't want to take the vaccine, but he has a conviction and takes a stand against it. And they've counted the cost. They've made the choice. They've made plans. And they decide, you know, we're going to lose our job. We're not going to take the vaccine. You know, as a pastor, I would, and I'm sure Pastor Shelley would support them and say, praise the Lord. We're going to be praying for you, and I agree with you or whatever. But, you know, if I have some guy come into my church who just got saved 2 weeks ago, his wife doesn't like our church. She's not on board. He's trying to get her to come. And he's coming to me, and he's like, Pastor, I don't want to take this vaccine, but my job just said I've got to take it or I'm going to get fired. And if my wife says if I get fired, she's going to leave me, and she already thinks I'm crazy because I've been coming to church here, and I can't get her. I'm not going to sit there and tell that guy, you better not take that vaccine. Bless God. Be like me. I'm not in his situation. He's got to live with those consequences. I'm not telling you. Here's the point. The point of the sermon is not to tell you, like, take it or don't take it. What I am telling you is that you need to be fully persuaded in your own mind. Matthew 14 and verse 5, notice what the Bible says. See, there are some things in the Bible, there are some things that are very clear in the Bible, and there are other things that God tells us. I'm about to give you an example. God says, like, hey, you got to make the choice there. Here's an example of that. Romans 14, 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Some people esteem one day above another, and other people just think every day is the same, no big deal. You say, which one's right? Well, here's what the Bible says. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You know, you should think about it. You should decide what the position is you want to take. And then God says, you make the choice. Look at verse 23, same chapter. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Here's another situation that he's bringing up. He says, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Here's what I'm telling you. You better be fully persuaded in your own mind, and you better have faith as to whatever decision you're going to make. And look, you've got to make that decision. You're going to live with those consequences. I'm not here trying to convince you one way or another. All I'm doing, you say, what's the point of this sermon? All I'm trying to explain to you is that I think it's hypocritical of our government to mandate a vaccine upon the bodies of individuals when the same government says, hey, your body, your choice. You want to kill that baby? Go for it. And then we say, hey, I don't want to take the vaccine. It's my body. And they're like, no, we own you. We're going to make you do it. Now, let me just talk to you just for a second about these vaccines. Go to Leviticus, if you would, Leviticus 13. You kept your place in Exodus. Right after Exodus, you have the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 13. Right now, there are three COVID-19 vaccines out there that are approved as an experiment by the FDA. The first one's Pfizer. Another one is Moderna. And then the third one is Johnson & Johnson. Here's all I'm saying is, I do think my body, my choice is a valid argument to not take the vaccine. I think the government should say, hey, you know what? I thought we lived in the United States of America. I thought we lived, you know, supposedly in the land of freedom and liberty. I think the government should say, my body, my choice is a valid reason. If they don't want to take the mandate, if they don't want to take the vaccine, they don't have to take it, you know, and we shouldn't force them. And you say, well, why is my body, my choice a valid reason to not take the vaccine? Again, you make the decision. I'm not trying to persuade you either way. But I am telling you this. My body, my choice is a valid reason for them to not mandate it. You say, why? Here's why. Because the COVID-19 vaccines are unclean. Leviticus 13:46, notice what the Bible says. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Now, we could look at a lot of verses. I'm just going to show you that one just as an example. But you know, the Bible says that when somebody has a plague or a sickness or a disease, you should stay away from it. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. God does not want us coming in contact. If you know that somebody has a plague, a disease, or whatever, look, all on your own, unconsciously, without knowing it, you're going to come in contact with people that are sick and all that. But if you know someone's sick, God says, don't, you know, put them away. If they have a plague, they need to dwell alone, and he even gives instructions to figure out if they're actually sick, if they're not sick. But the point is this, God doesn't want us just being around people. If you know they have a plague, you know they have a disease, you know they have sickness. For that reason, these vaccines are unclean, because these vaccines, the Johnson & Johnson, for example, contains a living cold virus packed with foreign DNA. The cold virus infects the patient's cells and then places the DNA inside the nucleus of the patient's human cells to get them to start manufacturing the mRNA for the SARS-CoV spike protein organ. Now look, if God does not want you to be near someone that's sick, if you know they have a plague, he doesn't want you to be here, you think he wants you taking that sickness, that disease, and injecting it into your body? And the Johnson & Johnson has a living cold virus that they packed with foreign DNA. So look, for that, I'm just saying, if they're going to take my body, my choice as an argument for abortions, then my body, my choice is an argument for, I don't want you to inject me with some, you know, disease, with some cold virus packed with foreign DNA, and put that. God wants me to stay away from people that are sick. That's what the Bible says. You say, oh, Pastor Jimenez, yeah, that's the Johnson & Johnson. But what about the other ones? The Frankenstein ones? You want to talk about those? The Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines contain mRNA that causes you to create coronavirus body parts. Go to Psalm 139 real quickly. You say, create coronavirus body parts. What are you talking about? The Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine use synthetic mRNA that contains information about the coronavirus's signature spike protein. Please try to understand this. The Pfizer and the Moderna use synthetic mRNA that contains information about the coronavirus's signature spike protein. The vaccines essentially work by inserting instructions into your cells that direct the body to produce a small amount of the coronavirus's spike protein. mRNA goes into your body, goes into your cell, and inserts the instructions into your cells that directs your body to start creating the coronavirus's spike protein. Now, if God wants you to stay away from sickness, He definitely doesn't want you to take the sickness and inject it into yourself. But if He wants you to stay away from sickness, He definitely doesn't want you to mutate your cells to begin to produce that same sickness. That's what it's doing. It's producing a piece of the coronavirus inside of you so that your body will identify it, your immune system will identify it, begin to attack it. It'll identify it as coronavirus that you created. It will attack it, you'll create an immunity to it so that when and if you come in contact with the real thing, it will be your body will be ready to fight off the coronavirus. Well, you know what? I'd rather just come in contact with the real thing. In fact, studies after studies after studies have proven that people that actually have coronavirus and survive it, that their immunity is better than the vaccine. But they tell you, oh, you got coronavirus? Yeah, well, you still got to take the vaccine. That makes no sense. Why do I take the vaccine? Because we want your body to identify the coronavirus in your body, and your immune system will attack it to develop an immunity. Wait a minute, I got coronavirus. My immune system already identified it and created immunity for it, and you want me to take... I've already done that. I got coronavirus when I think most of the new IFB got coronavirus at the infamous coronavirus conference in Sacramento, you know? And honestly, the main reason I'm here at the fire-breathing conference, I'm here for my booster shot. That's why I'm standing real close to you guys. Hey, I'd rather have the God-given immunity. You know what the Bible says? I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You know what the Bible says? It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Look, let me tell you something. The science of this world cannot do better than God. God created me with an immune system. God created you with an immune system. God has given you everything you need. And see, we live in a world that wants to reject God and say even God's creation is not good enough. We got to Frankenstein it and tweak it and put all these mRNA, synthetic DNA, it's going to change your cells, cause you to create some weird thing in your body. Hey, nuts to that. God created us in his image. God did it better. God's way is always better. You say, why should my body, my choice be a valid argument to not take the vaccine? Here's why it should be a valid argument, because the COVID-19 vaccines are unclean. But here's another reason why it should be a valid argument is because the coronavirus vaccines are unethical. Let me just read this for you real quickly. Each of the three COVID-19 vaccines were developed using the cells of aborted children. Like we started in the sermon, hey, I'm against abortions. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine had its confirmatory lab test on the cells taken from the eyes of a baby murdered by abortion in 1985. While Pfizer and Moderna's confirmatory lab tests were done on the kidney cells of a baby murdered by abortion in 1973. I'm not interested in a product that is using the corpse of a dead baby in order to keep us safe. Pastor Thompson and I did a video on vaccines, which got taken down. but he had a great quote in the video where he said, you know, when you're using these vaccines, you're using murdered children to develop these vaccines. It's no wonder these vaccines lead to a bunch of dead and injured children. Can any man bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No, not one. And here's all I'm saying. Look, whether you want to, I'm not saying you want to take it, you don't want to take it. That's your choice. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Here's all I'm saying is we shouldn't be forced to take it. And if my body, my choice is a valid argument to kill a child, then it should at least be a valid argument to not take the vaccine. But it's hypocrisy at its worst. When these liberals can sit there and rally and say, my body, my choice, I can kill a child. And then we say, well, okay, well, if you're going to use that one, how about my body, my choice on the vaccine thing? And they're like, oh, no, you could injure somebody. Well, your abortions are injuring people, are killing people. Go to Matthew chapter 9, if you would, just real quickly. Matthew chapter 9. I had a church member that said to me, well, I think we should just tell people that we're trans-vaccinated. I'm trans-vaccinated. I'm not vaccinated, but I identify as someone that's been vaccinated. I mean, shouldn't that be accepted? By the way, some of you, you could use this one. Tell people you're trans-fat. I'm fat, but I identify as someone that's skinny. Hey, I use it all the time. I'm a short person. I identify as someone that's tall. My preferred pronouns are tall, dark, and handsome. Hey, what I'm saying is if these idiots can use these arguments, and we laugh because it's ridiculous, they take it serious. A man chops off his stones and says, I identify as a squirrel, and the world's like, a neutered squirrel. And we say abortions are killing people. They're killing babies. And they're like, you're in a cult. You're a Neanderthal. We're like, vaccines are not healthy for you. And they're like, you're a flat earther. We live in a society that is crazy, my friend. Let me just give you some thoughts just as I conclude. First of all, let's talk about the problem. Here's the problem. If I'm not sick, I don't need medical treatment. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12, the Bible says this, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Look, if I'm not sick, I don't need medical treatment. And if I am sick in the land of the free, I should be allowed to choose my own medical treatment. But let's just real quickly talk about, that's the problem. If I'm not sick, I don't need medical treatment. But let's just quickly talk about the agenda. Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Last book in the New Testament, the Bible, Revelation 13. Now, let me just be clear about something. We're gonna look at Revelation 13, which deals with the mark of the beast. Let me just be very clear. I do not believe the vaccine is the mark of the beast. It is not the mark of the beast. I know some of you are really into, you know, it's like the mask, the mark. It's not the same thing. I do not believe the COVID vaccine is the mark of the beast, but I do believe that these mandates on vaccines, these vaccine passports, these laws that are coming out and people saying, well, you can't work here if you're not vaccinated. I do believe that that is conditioning us and preparing us to accept a culture that will bring forth the mark of the beast. Revelation 13, verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark, not a vaccine, a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. They are pushing. I mean, isn't it amazing how hard they are pushing the vaccines? I mean, they're telling people you're gonna lose your job if you don't get vaccinated. You're not gonna be allowed to buy or sell. We're not gonna allow you in the store if you're not vaccinated. We're not gonna allow you to travel if you're not vaccinated. I mean, it's amazing. There's a little Wendy's over by where our church building is, and if you've ever been to our church building, you know that we're in the ghetto. I mean, we're just in the ghetto. There's just no other way. There's just no other way to say it. And there's a little Wendy's just down the street from us, and every once in a while, you know, I'll go through the drive-thru. And I saw on the drive-thru, there's a sticker that says, free Frosty with your COVID vaccine shot. You get your COVID vaccine shot, and you show us you got it, free Frosty. I'm thinking to myself, like, first of all, I'm thinking to myself, why is there such a strong agenda to get people vaccinated? That's the first question I ask myself. The second question I ask myself is, how ghetto do you have to be? I mean, a free Frosty? Who seriously drives into that drive and says, well, I wasn't going to get the vaccine, but now you offered me a Frosty. I mean, it's like, good night. But, you know, it just shows the strength of the agenda that they're trying to put. You can't work here. Here's a Frosty. Let us vaccinate you. It's conditioning us. Just obey. Not only is there the problem, I'm not sick, I don't need medical treatment. Not only is there the agenda, and again, the COVID vaccine is not the mark of the beast, but it is conditioning us for the mark of the beast. There's also the motivation. I'll just read this for you. You don't have to turn there. In fact, you go to 1 Corinthians, you would, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. While you turn there, I'll read to you from 1 Timothy 6:10. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, there's the motivation. What's the motivation? The love of money is the reason they're pushing it so hard. Now, the devil's pushing it to condition people for the mark of the beast. But why is the world, why is Wendy's pushing it? Thinking Wendy with her agenda. It's the love of money. That's why they're putting, look, it's interesting. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And you would look at that and say, really, all evil? Just follow the money. It's the root of all evil. That's the motivation. Let me just say this as I finish. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. Just for sake of clarity, let me say this. I've kind of been misleading you a little bit in the sermon. Not on purpose. It's just that I've been using the phrase that the world uses. My body, my choice. And I've been saying that that's not a valid argument for the abortions rights. And that's the reason I'm using the phrase, is to show you it's not valid. You say, why? Because it's murder. And then we transition to saying, but if they accept my body, my choice as a valid argument for abortions, then it's hypocritical that they don't accept my body, my choice as an argument for not forcing us or not adhering to the mandates of the vaccine. It's hypocritical. But let me just say this. My body, my choice is actually wrong on both ends. My body, my choice is not something that should be used for abortions, and it honestly is not even something that should be used for the mandates. You say, why? Well, here's why. It is God that created you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord owns the earth and the fullness thereof. He owns the earth and everything on it, everyone in it. It's all His. And if you're saved, you're doubly His. You've been purchased. You've been bought with the price. You've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, here's the real argument. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Here's the truth. It's not that I should be standing up and telling Joe Biden and the government and Gavin Newsom and everyone else that wants to vaccinate us, saying, hey, you can't vaccinate me because it's my body, my choice. No, that's wrong. Here's the truth. You can't vaccinate me, not because it's my body, it's His body. It's His body, it's His choice. And if you don't like it, take it up with Him. Good luck with that. Why should they not murder children? Because it's not my body, my choice. God created them. They belong to God. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is full with these children that have been murdered. It's not my body, my choice. It's not your body, your choice, really. It's God's body. It's God's choice. We should adhere to what God says. Those Bible-believing Christians, look, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this thing's going to end. But I can tell you this. We should always look at the Bible and ask ourselves, well, what does the Bible say? What does God expect from us? What would God want? And at the end of the day, we should always submit to this. My body is owned by God. It was purchased by God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and ye are not your own, but ye are bought with a price. It's not my body. It's his body. It's not my choice. It's his choice. By the way, that doesn't just work for vaccines. That works for whether you show up for soul winning. That works for whether you show up to Sunday night church. That works for whether you take a job that causes you to skip out on Sunday morning church. That actually works for every, if you just lived your life this way, every time you had to make a choice, you said, well, it's not really my body, my choice. It's his body, his choice. I wonder where he would want you on a Wednesday night. I wonder what he would want you to do on Monday morning. Does he want you to go on Facebook or open up a King James Bible and read it? Does he want you to listen to talk radio, or does he want you to get on your knees right before you go to work and pray and commune with him and talk with him? It's not. If you're saved, it's not your body. It's not your choice. It's his body, his choice. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these dear people. We know they love you and they care for you. We love you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to live our lives mindful of the fact that it is not my body and it is not my choice. We are bought with a price. Help us to live our lives conscious of that truth. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for Pastor Shelley and his family, the great work and all the staff and the volunteers, all the workers that make and help this ministry do what it does. Lord, I pray that you would bless this place. I pray that you would protect them against their enemies. Lord, I pray that you would allow them to win this lawsuit. I pray that you would allow the thieves that have stolen from them to be prosecuted and imprisoned. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them and help them to continue to be a shining light in this area. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for the sermon, Pastor Jimenez. And thank you all for being here tonight. Let's go ahead and sing one more song before we head out. Go ahead and turn in your hymnals to song 210. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And don't forget, tomorrow morning is the spelling bee for all the kids. And then after that's a singles event. So I highly encourage you to come for that. And then a soul winning in the afternoon. And come on back for the services on Sunday. And if you still need to get baptized, you can always get baptized. If you repent, you change your mind, you want to get baptized on Sunday, we'll fill it up for you, okay? Song number 210, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
great preaching this evening. I want to make a quick few announcements, and then we'll be dismissed. So we had this event about 2 years ago, and for our attendance 2 years ago on Wednesday, we had 202. This year, we had 235. Thursday, we had 242, and then we had 248 this year. And then Friday, we had 263, but we had 268 tonight. So praise the Lord. And I noticed there's still some pizza out here, so anybody that wants it, it's first come, first serve. Take whatever you want. We want to get rid of all of it. We still have those sign-up sheets for the Spelling Bee and singles event, but most importantly, you show up. The Spelling Bee judges, if you can just meet with me real quick over by my office right afterwards, just for a few instructions. And since you heard some really great preaching, and Pastor Jimenez made it really clear, if you're still in town on Sunday, I'll see you at church, because it's not your choice, it's his choice, all right? You are dismissed. God bless. Have a good night.
Instead of A flat, I got nervous, and then my breathing got off, and I just could never, every time it came up, I just...